Eric's all dressed up this morning. He's got his glad rags on. Enjoy the word.
Glad rags. I'd never heard that before. Well,
that came around back in the day, the $30
month. Okay. Glad rags. I'll take that. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice in the word this morning. Glory to God. I was meditating on one of the 176 verses in Psalms 119. And I love Psalms 119 because its entire, merely, for the most part, its entire dedication is to the love of God's word. And I'm going to read just a short couple of verses to start things off. Not that they're pertaining to this, but it's just a great way to start getting into the word. It says in Psalms 119, verse 11 and through verse 16, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your principles. I have recited out loud all the laws you have given us. I have rejoiced in your decrees as much as in riches. I will study your commands and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your principles and never forget your word. And a couple other verses, verse 129 and 130. Your decrees are wonderful, no wonder I obey them. As your words are taught, they give light. Even the simple can understand them. Hallelujah. Being simple may encourage me to know that I can understand his word. So let us rejoice in the word today. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your word, that we can rejoice in it, that it is light, that it is easy to understand, that it guides us, that it brings us joy, that it brings us the great treasures of life. Thank you, Lord, that your word is being planted deep into our hearts, that it cannot be stolen from. Satan, you have no place in our minds, you have no place in our hearts, and you will not steal what the Lord gives to us today. We command you right now to flee, that you have no place in us, for the promises of the word are ours forever. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for this time in fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. We cannot let Satan steal the word. And I give you a warning. When you leave, he will try to take it away. The word says he will. So don't give him a place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, God is good, isn't he? He is so good. And we always have a reason to give thanks and to rejoice. Always have a reason to give him recognition for what he does. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it's a common passage of scripture that we refer to often. It says, I'm going to read two versions, one of the NIV and one through the New Living Translation. It says, therefore I urge you. Other versions say, therefore I beseech you. Brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. In the New Living, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Our worship to God does not have to be complicated, does not have to be grandiose. We look at our bodies, we see our bodies every day. And it is a reminder of who God is to us. It says, in view of God's mercy, did we wake up this morning? Then God was merciful that he gave us another day. Glory to God. He gave us another opportunity to go forward and do what he commissioned us to do. So in view of his mercy, what is the least that we can do? That we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Holy just means set apart for His use. When we wake up in the morning, how often are we thinking, first thing, Lord, I set myself apart today so that You can use me. I am Yours. I am the vessel that You created, You molded. I am not of this world. I am not from this world. The world did not create me. Therefore, use me in the way that You can today. I was walking last night, probably about, it's getting late really early. It's getting dark really early, so it must have been about 7 o'clock, I think. And I was walking, and look, I spent a lot of time looking up at the stars. I don't exactly know why, except it's a reflection of God's majesty. And Pastor Calvin did a little exhortation on the creation that we get to enjoy, and there's a little blurb on the back bulletin board about just how great the creation that God has made really is, and how we are just, and I said, Lord, I am but a speck. I'm not even a speck. You know, the earth is a speck in the universe. I don't know what that makes us. Speck of a speck. And I was thinking as I was looking up, I was looking at the Milky Way. You can really see the belt real clearly. It was real interesting. And I was looking up at all the constellations and just the beauty of it all. And I said, Lord, you know, how great is this that You, the God that is so great that would create the universe that is infinite as far as our mind's concerned, but was so concerned with me that You put Your Holy Spirit, the same power that created all this, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, is living on the inside of me. That was such a humbling moment when I was looking up at the stars, walking, trying to stay on a path, but just looking and looking and looking and thinking, God, this is but a speck in comparison to the universe. And yet as I'm walking, I have communion with the Holy Spirit who helped to create all of this on the inside of me. In view of God's mercy, isn't that a good way to look at God's mercy? That we can look at the creation around us, as vast as it is, as beautiful as it is, and say, Lord, as great as You are, I am so significant that You would put Your Spirit on the inside of me. And for that reason, we can offer our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to Him. For this is our true worship. Now, we had a great time of worship this morning. I love corporate worship. I love worshiping God as I'm walking down the streets in the neighborhood that I live, or, you know, just around the property that I'm living on out there. And I love just singing to Him and praising Him and worshiping Him. But music is only one element. Singing to God is only but one element of worship to Him. Nowhere in here does it say anything about us singing to God. You know, I think we get so focused on worshiping God through music. And I love singing to God, especially when no one else is around and I could just sing. And I don't care how I sound. The ducks, I don't really scare them away yet. But I get a chance to worship God through my song. But it says here, your true worship is by offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. So are we asking ourselves each day, Lord, how can I offer my body, my mind, my hands, my mouth, who I am as a living sacrifice to You today? Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, take up your cross and follow me. Really what He was saying was, if you want to be my disciple, then you need to sacrifice yourself each day for me. No matter what the world offers you, that you have dedicated yourself to me. And I've had to ask God, Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing each day to sacrifice myself? And one thing I've been learning to practice, not doing it all the time, but I'm trying to make a habit of it, is telling the Lord that, so that I hear myself, I actually have to do this out loud. Lord, I sacrifice my will, my desire, my flesh's impulses for you. I die to those things just as Paul says. He says, daily I die so that you will live through me. Daily I die. In Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2, this just kind of gets paired real well with Romans chapter 12, and it confirms another reason why we ought to do this. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2, it says, you have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God. You all have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God. You are not your own. Body of Christ, you are not your own. Quit laying claim to your dreams and your desires and your impulses and what you want, because you are not your own. I am not my own. And he has chosen you, you all, including myself and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. He has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure. Hallelujah. You are a special treasure. Ivan, you are a special treasure. Never forget that. No man can say anything to you to make you less than God made you to be, because you are his special treasure. And this is one more reason why we can go back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and say, here, Lord, here's another reason I offer my body as a living sacrifice, which is my true and proper worship, because I am your special treasure. I wish we had that little poster thing blown up on the projector screen so that we can see how vast the universe is. And I don't even think that reflects the full universe, only what God has revealed to us so far. And yet in all of that that truly cannot be measured, you and I are his special treasure. I'm going to read a little something from a commentary. I think it was from Matthew Henry. And he just kind of said it well for me. He says, we receive from the Lord every day the fruits of his mercy. Let us render ourselves all we are, all we have, all we can do, and after all, what return is it for such very receivings? It is acceptable to God, a reasonable service which we are able and ready to give a reason for and which we understand. The progress of sanctification, dying to sin more and more and living to righteousness more and more, is carrying on this renewing work till it is perfected in glory. The great enemy to this renewal is conformity to this world. We receive from the Lord every day the fruits of his mercy. One of the things that I reflect on every day is, Lord, I am your chosen generation, your royal priesthood, your holy nation. I am chosen, but not because of anything that I did. Because if it were up to me and my acts, you would have sent down a, help me out here, lightning bolt and struck me already. But you didn't. You've chosen me, and I will honor that, not because of who I am, because of who you are in me. He says, let us render ourselves all we are, all we have, all we can do, all, everything. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to pair what was just said with something Paul was saying. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3. And whatever you do, I'm going to finish it, but I want to stop there. Whatever you do, that's a very broad statement. He could say, in whatever you do in ministry, he could say, whatever you do in work, whatever you do in your relationships. He could have classified that. But he said, and whatever you do or say, blanket statement, as long as you're breathing, as long as you get up each day, whatever you do or say, at work, in your relationships, in your marriage, with your children, at church, with the body of Christ. Let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever we do, let it be a representation of the Lord Jesus, for this is our true and proper worship. If we're at the grocery store and someone cuts in front of us, go for it. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not in a rush. So what if I happen to be 5 minutes late because I let somebody else go before me? That's okay. The world's not going to end because of that. Bless you. You know, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And there will be an opportunity that somebody is going to say, hey, go in front of me. I've got time. Or I'm waiting for somebody. Don't worry about it. Whatever we do, in word and in deed, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been thinking a lot about my own personal conduct and asking the Father, is what I do a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ? And not everything is. I'm a human being. I lose it. I flip out. Denise has to tell me once in a while with certain phone calls with certain people, calm down, breathe, just be patient. I know that person gets on your case, but just be patient. We all have those people in our life that God has allowed to be there so we can grow and mature and be more like Christ. Because if those people weren't in our lives, we would not be striving to be more like Christ. They test us. Sometimes it's easy to be like Christ with certain people, and with other people, it's like, dear God, take me home already. There's just certain people that test us. But it is those people we need to have a special love for. It is those people that need for us to be the true representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to take what is on the inside of us and make it represent Christ on the outside of us. And that was something that God was showing me. And Pastor Barbara, I wasn't even going to mention it, but there was a confirmation of what you said this morning in prayer that it said, okay, Lord, thank you. Yeah, I know exactly where I'm supposed to be today and what it is I'm supposed to be saying as far as the teaching was concerned. And she was referencing something out of Isaiah chapter 61. And it says in 61 and verse 3, I'm actually going to look at a translation that does it justice. Give me just a second here. And what it was talking about, even before I get to the scripture, was it's talking about putting something on. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. But people do not see the Spirit on the inside of us. What do they see? They see our flesh. They see our outside. They see our demeanor. They see our face. They see the way that we present ourselves. They see the way that we treat other people based on what's on the outside. They don't see the Holy Spirit on the inside of us in a physical and tangible manner. But they can if we are reflecting the Holy Spirit. It says in Isaiah chapter 3, and ironically enough, I didn't even have this one of my scriptures, so I'm really glad you prayed this out. It says in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, I'll just read it from the top. It says, and provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And I'll stop right there because what I wanted to focus on was, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. I've had to ask myself, okay, Eric, how are you representing the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you? Because they're not going to see that. Now, we have in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be operating in the fruit of the Spirit, and that is the evidence that we are being controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. But we can do some things, because we're always doing something. We're always putting something on every day. And I'm not just talking about our clothing. Whether we know it or not, we are putting on a certain demeanor. We're putting on a certain spirit per se So we have to be purposeful. What am I putting on? In this case, that he has given us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This world lives in despair. And it is easy to get out of bed and get ready for life, whatever it is, and walk out with a spirit of despair because our economy is going to the dumps, because our government's going to the dumps, because the world is falling apart. And yet he says, put on a garment of praise. How is the world going to know that we have a garment of praise unless what we're doing is praiseworthy? What we're saying is demonstrating praise. Praise is giving thanks to God openly so that others can see it. Glory to God, what a nice day it is. Nice crisp air, beautiful day, birds are singing. You know, letting people know that you are gracious for the world that your God has created. Thank you, Lord, for my job, for the challenges that they're going to be turned into opportunities. People are going to begin to see the cloak, the garment of praise, instead of a spirit of heaviness or despair. If you want people to see Christ, purposely put on those things which God has given us. And I'm going to go through a number of them. And I'm really glad, Pastor Barbara, you were being led by the Spirit when you said this, because I didn't have this one. But this was a great place to start. So let's put on a garment of praise. But we have to do that purposely, because it'll be real easy to put on a garment of complaining, a garment of despair, a garment of anger or offense. In Psalms chapter 30 and verse 11, please just write these down, because I'm going to go through a number of them and I'm not going to give you time to turn to them. In Psalms chapter 30 and verse 11, it says, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing." Hallelujah. Who this morning woke up with even a sense of mourning for something? Maybe somebody passed away. Maybe you missed an opportunity. Whatever it is, every day we have an opportunity for mourning. But it says, "You, Lord, have turned my mourning into joyful dancing." Hallelujah. "You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy." Glory to God. God has given us the clothing of joy to put on every day. Wake up in the morning and say, "Rejoice. Lord, I rejoice in who you are and who you've made me to be. That others will see you through me. That your spirit will be reflecting out of me by the garments that I put on today. That I would reflect your glory and your presence in my life." Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 25. Speaking of the, what we call the Proverbs 31 woman. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Speaking of a woman who is clothed with strength and dignity, those things can truly only come from the Lord. As you're in your job or with family or out doing whatever it is you do, that people would see a sense of strength and dignity that could not come from the circumstances in your life or the people around you, but could have only come from the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, "Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. How can we clothe ourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ unless we're in the Word, unless we're praying, unless we're in personal worship time? How can we clothe ourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ unless we're in joy? We're experiencing joy. And in reverse, the joy of the Lord is our strength. In his presence is fullness of joy. But we need to clothe ourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus. That when people are looking at us, they're realizing, "I don't know what's different about you, but there is something about you that no one could have given you. I know you couldn't have gotten this face and demeanor from the job, because this job stinks sometimes. And yet you seem to have such joy in your life. What do you have?" If people are not asking you about why you're different, maybe it's because you're not acting differently. And I'll be honest, it's been a while since somebody has asked me, why do you seem so different? I remember being at work, I was about 19 or 20 years old, working at Ross. I was working in customer service. And in one particular morning, it wasn't early, it seemed like a nice day. I was walking back to the customer service desk where I was working, and a woman stopped me. And she says, you know, every time I come in here, you're smiling. Now, working customer service, I need to be smiling. I need to be representing this company well and showing them that it is a joy that I'm serving them. But she says, today in particular, you're smiling. What causes you to smile? I said, God's good. I love life. And maybe she just needs to hear that life is good, that God is good, that she loves, that God loves her, whatever it is. If you're smiling at a time when you shouldn't be, someone's going to ask you, what's causing you to be so happy? And that's the open door for you to say, well, God is good to me. Life is good regardless of what's going on around me. The second part of that in verse 14 says, and do not let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. We cannot be in the spirit, we cannot be in the presence of the Lord and indulging evil desires at the same time, because one is spirit and the other is flesh. So let us clothe ourselves with the presence of the Lord in order to keep ourselves from indulging in the evil desires of our flesh. Our flesh wants so bad to do things that our spirit wants so much to reject. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. And all who have been united with Christ. Who in here has been united with Christ? Hallelujah. In baptism have put on Christ. Like putting on new clothes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was younger, I guess I enjoyed buying clothes more than I do now. But there is something about putting on a new shirt or a new pair of pants or a new pair of shoes or whatever it is. Just that new feeling. There was something about the new feeling that you just can't replace it. You know, and you don't have that new feeling in clothing for very long. But it makes you feel good when you're putting on a new shirt for the first time or a new pair of pants that you haven't quite worn in yet. And Paul here is saying, in all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. Every day we can put on Christ again like putting on new clothes. And we should be doing this, telling, Lord Jesus, I am putting you on again today. Just as we put on our armor each day, I am putting you on so that others can see you in me. If we're putting on Christ each day, just as Paul is saying, then others are going to see Christ. If we're putting on his nature. And here's his nature. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If you want others to see your new Jesus shirt, then it ought to look a lot like tender-hearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I should have gotten a big onesie with Jesus around the middle of it, or from down the front or something, that we can truly illustrate what it would mean to clothe yourself with Jesus. Just one big onesie, just step into it, zip it up, and I am clothed in Christ from at least the neck down, because he's the head of the body, right? So at least from that part down, I'm clothed in Christ. Well, I just thought of that right now. I'm like, oh, that would have been an interesting illustration. Well, glory to God. So think of it this way. Think of yourself stepping out of bed, getting in your big onesie from toe to neck, clothed in Christ. That when you go out, all people see is basically Christ, because Christ is our head. So from the neck down, you're putting on Christ. Glory to God. That people would see tenderhearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. If we're having a conflict with family, if we're having a conflict with friends, or our coworkers, or our boss, don't put it on them to bring harmony and peace to the relationship, unless they know Christ. But if you know Christ and you know what it takes to bring perfect harmony into a relationship, then be the first one to put on love. Put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And you will find peace and unity in that relationship. Because they can't stay mad at you. They can't stay offended with you if what they're seeing in you are these traits. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. I love that verse. I'm going to read it one more time. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. That wasn't going to come out right. This body, I was going to say, this beauty, God made me beautiful. He made you beautiful. So this beauty that you all have will fade away. Sorry. If you didn't know that by now, I'm sorry. But glory to God, since Christ is in us and we are in Him, we have an unfading beauty that can be reflected outside of us from the inside out. That is of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious to God. That's right. Hallelujah. So even when our beauty on the outside is fading, our beauty on the inside can be magnified all the more. Job chapter 29 and verse 14. He says, I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. Righteousness, the simplest definition that I'd ever heard of and the most usable, is God's way of doing things. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God is just His business. It's the way He operates. It's His business. So we could say, seek first God's business and His way of doing things, and everything that we have need of will be given to us. Put on righteousness as your clothing. So as you're putting on Christ, also put on His way of doing things. Lord, this morning I get up and start my new day, and I put on my clothing of righteousness, that everything that I do represents Christ, that represents you, represents your kingdom, represents your way of doing things. I put on you, especially those days when you're feeling ugly, and I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm not talking about having a bad hair day, or makeup just isn't going on right, or the clothes just don't seem to be matching up, even though you've worn that same outfit at least once before. If you're just feeling ugly, maybe something's come over you. Put on Christ. Put on righteousness. Put on the unfading beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit. Put on those things so that when you step out the door to face the world, what the world is seeing isn't what you're dealing with on the inside. You may be battling with that. You may have laid that down at the foot of the cross and said, Lord, I'm just not feeling it today. And we all have those days when we're just not feeling it. You wake up, maybe the sky's a little gray, you know, I don't know, there's a little chill in the air for some reason. It just didn't seem to be your day. This is the moment when we say, Lord, I wake up. This is a brand new day. I put you on. I put on righteousness. I put on praise. I put on love. I put on you, Christ, because today I'm going to reflect you to others, regardless of how I'm feeling. Maybe you woke up with a sore throat. Maybe you woke up with a headache. I'm putting on these things today, Lord, because others are going to see you. Glory to God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. You guys getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Blessed. Getting into the Word, digging in, finding out what the Lord's got for us today. Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 15 through verses 23. I'm going to I'll read through it one time, and then we're going to go down and break it up a little bit. Romans chapter 6 and verse 15, in my Bible, it's headed as freedom to obey God. Start in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to somebody as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that through you, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart. Oh, I love how he says that. You have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to be a servant to something. We are going to put on something each morning. So we need to decide, what are we putting on this morning? Are we going to put on that prison uniform that says, I am a slave and prisoner to sin? Or are we going to put on the garment of praise for the Spirit? Garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness? Are we going to put on the garment of love? Are we going to put on the garment of righteousness? Are we going to clothe ourselves in holiness? Because we are going to represent something. So we need to choose, what are we representing? You can't just go out and say, well, I'm going out, and whatever it is, it is. Because people are going to see something. What is it you want them to see? Do you want them to see despair? Do you want them to see that you're moved by the things of this world? Or do you want them to see that no matter what the situation is, no matter the circumstances around you, that you are representative of the Lord Jesus Christ? The way that we are going to draw others to Christ is going to be by how we're clothing ourselves each day. What are they going to see? In 1 John chapter 4, and in verse 12, look at verse 11. It says, dear friends, since God loved us so much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love has been brought to full expression through us. People around us aren't going to see God in the physical when we're trying to tell them about God, but they will see God manifested through us when we love each other and we love those around us, especially at moments when they realize there is no reason we should be loving them. Maybe they're acting ugly to us, and yet we're demonstrating love to them anyways. They may come back one day and say, why did you treat me that way when I was treating you like dirt? Why did you say those nice things about me when I knew that I was treating you ugly? because I love you. Because God loves you. Because no matter what you say and what you do, I'm going to lead you to Christ through my love for you. Hallelujah. Are we going to be a servant to sin, or are we going to be a servant to righteousness? In Genesis chapter 4, at the end of verse 7, you could just write it down. This is speaking about God speaking to Cain at this moment. This is right before Cain decides to make the wrong decision. And it says at the end of verse 4, sin is waiting to attack and destroy you, and you must subdue it. That word subdue means to take control of, to reign over. Are we going to allow sin to reign over us and to control us, that we ought to be a slave to it? Or are we going to reign over, we're not going to let sin roll over us. Are we going to reign over and subdue and control sin and give it no place? Because we are servants to righteousness. I love how it says, and I don't have it by verse here, but somewhere in the middle between 15 and 23, it says, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. Just as we used to live for the world, live that much more radically for Christ. There are those in... Every one of us have our testimony. God has taken each one of us out of something. I was raised as a Christian, in a Christian home, going to a Christian school. I had my opportunities to walk away from God. I had my opportunities to turn my back on Him. But I by no means have experienced some of the things that you have experienced. God has taken some of you out of much darker situations, much harder times than I will have ever have experienced. And sometimes I ask God, Lord, would I love you more if I was redeemed from more? You know, even Jesus said to one of the Pharisees, he said, he was talking about the woman who had come and she had poured perfume on him, on his feet, and washed his feet and washed them with her tears. And he said, who is loved more? The one who was forgiven little or the one who was forgiven much? And he said, the ones who's forgiven much. And it's not for me to say, well, Lord, I'd love you more if I was forgiven from more. Because I can look at it the other way and say, I didn't have to go through all those things. His grace and mercy was sufficient for me so that I didn't have to experience all that stuff and have to be removed from it all. But for those who have experienced and lived for the world so radically, so vigorously, when they turn around and they accept the call from God, so many times I see those people living all the more radically and all the more ardently and all the more vigorously for God. There's a pastor, he's passed away now, I guess about 10 or 15 years ago. He was originally a leader in, I don't know if it was Bloods or Crips or whatever it was, one of the gangs in East LA. I think he had murdered a couple of people, probably done a lot of ugly things in his teenage and early 20s. He ended up going to prison for murder and ended up accepting the call of God that was on his life, got out early for whatever reason it was. And he ended up becoming a pastor. And the one thing that I knew about Pastor Joe, and I didn't know anything about his previous life, was that there wasn't anything in this world that he would not stand face to face with and confront. No person, no situation. There wasn't anything in his life before Christ that he had fear of. And there was nothing in his life with Christ that he would stand or that he would ever walk away from. And I only got to know him for a short period of time, but one thing I realized was as hard as he lived for the world, he lived that hard for Christ. People knew he was a renewed man because His new life in no way reflected his old life. If they knew him from the old days, they would know, this is a brand new man. This isn't the same Joe I remember. And that's been one of my prayers, is that, Lord, no matter what my life was like in those moments where I was complacent, in those moments where I was apathetic, that, Father, people would look at me and say, Eric has grown and matured in Christ. Eric is not the same person that he was as a teenager. Eric was not the same person as he was 10 minutes ago. That I am continually being renewed, continually growing, continually changing, continually more reflecting the love and glory of Christ. The question is are we going to look more like Christ each new day? Are we going to live harder and more vigorously for God than we did for the world? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to take an opportunity, if there would be anyone. Every day we have a day to make a public decision. To say, Lord, I blew it. You know, I have not been living the way I should be for you. I just said that this morning. I said it again last night on my prayer walk. Lord, I've blown it. I have not been vigorously pursuing my relationship and walk with you the way I need to. But today's a new day. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I choose to refresh my relationship with you. I choose to change so that the world sees you rather than the mess that I am. If there is anyone today who needs prayer, somebody just to stand in face with you, and say, Lord, today's a new day. I'm making a fresh start in my relationship with you. I love you, and I'm doing this because I want to show you just how much I love you. I'd like to pray for you. Our ministry team would like to pray for you. And just say, today's a new day. Lord, I know you know my heart, but I want to make a public confession and say that I am renewing my love for you today. I want others to see you in me rather than see me. I'd love to pray for you. This world's a dirty place. Sometimes we just need to say, Lord, I want to start over. And he lets us hit that restart button as many times as we need to. Stripping off that old and dirty stuff and putting on the new clothes. Can we all stand? We're going to make a public declaration together that November 16th, 2014, we are making a stand today. And we are saying publicly that we are renewing our relationship with God. That we stand today letting the world know and letting those around us know that who we were this morning or yesterday or last year is over. We have killed that old man. We have killed those desires of the flesh. We have put those things on the cross. We have laid those before you. And we are moving forward, looking towards the mark which you have set for us. That this is a new mark in our journey, drawing closer to Christ. November 14th is the start of a new chapter in our relationship with God. Thank you, Lord, that we can hit the restart button, that refresh button, and say, whatever it is I did yesterday, I repent in Jesus' name, and I thank you that you have washed those sins away, that you have forgotten them as far as the east is from the west. That as far as you're concerned, Lord, I am a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I put on Christ today. I put on peace today. I put on joy today. I put on righteousness today. I put on praise today. And I will reflect you in your kingdom from this day forward. From this day forward, I am a representation of Christ. From this day forward, I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. From this day forward, the world will see Christ rather than seeing me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor, I've said everything God's going to say.
Amen. Everybody take a deep breath and let it out. Never miss a good chance to renew your commitment to Christ. I'm committed to this woman in marriage, but I never miss a chance to recommit. I mean, she knows I love her, but I still tell her every day, numerous times. Jesus knows I love him, but I still tell him every day, numerous times. Keep your commitment to Christ fresh and alive. And keep your commitment to one another fresh and alive. Amen. Well, we want to thank you for participating in this service. Our next service should be Wednesday night, is that correct? Wednesday night at 6:30. So we look forward to seeing you then. Is there any more announcements? Seems like there was an announcement. Next week we'll make more announcements. Yeah, we're planning a work day in a couple weeks from now. So we'll get all the details together and let you know about that in about a week. So anyway, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Give a big hug and a kiss to about 50 people. That means you're going to have to kiss two or three of them twice, because I don't think there's 40 here today. But God bless you. Thank you for being here. We love you. We need you.